Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Start now. Again, people say that all the time, but I really mean start now for several reasons. One of them is because we're in an economic climate. We're recording January 24th, 2024. At this time, we're hitting a point in the economic cycle where there's fear. People don't know what to expect.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Ash Patel, and I'm with today's guest, Ravi Gupta. Ravi is joining us from Fairfax, Virginia. He is the managing partner and COO of Viking Capital Investments, where they believe that real estate syndications offer a compelling investment option for individuals looking to build wealth through commercial real estate. Ravi's portfolio consists of 16 multifamily properties. Ravi, thank you for joining us, and how are you today?
Wonderful, Ash. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Ravi, if you would, can you give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Sure. Happy to do it. So I trained as a physician. I worked and practiced in Northern Virginia for a number of years as a hospice physician focusing on inpatient adult care. And my partner and I, who you just spoke about this prior to the podcast starting, Vikram Raya, who I'm sure many of you know, he's more of the face of the company. I'm more in the background doing the operations type stuff. Both he and I were talking about our interests, and we both had an interest in real estate. We both had small portfolios of our own. He had some in the residential space, some single family homes. I had some in the also residential space, but also had some smaller multifamily properties of mine. So we were talking about our investments and how we could potentially collaborate and do something bigger. And also we found that our friends and family were interested in learning how we invested, and they also wanted to invest with us. So we thought this was the perfect vehicle to get all of us together and invest as one. So that's what we did. We started these small syndications. We started as co-GPs on certain deals and helped raise capital and manage the asset. And we grew and grew from there to the point where we are today. And we're really blessed and grateful to have what we have. And really, it goes to show how many people really trusted us and appreciated us, and we're happy to share our successes with all of them.
Ravi, if you would give our best ever listeners a bit about the scale at which you guys operate today, some metrics on assets under management, acquisitions that you've done recently.
Absolutely. So let's start with where we operate. We operate in the multifamily space. We look at 200 to 400 unit properties, and we have just recently acquired, I believe, our 27th property. The latest acquirement was in Atlanta, and we really focus much of our attention in Atlanta. It's an area where Vikram grew up. His father's there, who is also part of our company for a while. And we really like that city. We know it well. We also have what you would call an unfair advantage in Atlanta, because we do have a ground level presence, and the property management company that we use is based in Atlanta. So the last property was a 200 plus unit property, 1980s build value add that we got for a very low cost basis. And that's what we're looking at this time in the economic cycle. You can find these properties with a really nice cost basis. And that's what we're looking for. Currently, we've transacted on around 750 million real estate, and we've raised about 250 million of capital, and we have approximately 2,000 doors under management currently.
And thank you. And that gives our audience a perspective of where you're at today. I want to flip the script on this interview a little bit. I want to talk about mindset and maybe deep dive into that. Here we have two doctors that were dabbling in real estate. How do you go from that to raising $250 million, transacting $750 million? What mindset struggles did you guys have? Did you overcome? And do you have now?
That's an excellent question. And it's so important, because what I've heard from our coaches and advisors is this message that came to us very often, was that whatever you're focused on, it's another number, right? It's another metric that you don't have to get bogged down on, but understand that people have gotten there before. So what I mean by that is, an example was, we were looking at growing our portfolio, and we had maybe 100 million of assets under management, and our advisor mentioned 1 billion. And we were like, wow, that sounds insanely high. He's like, hey, look, people have done it before. It's just a number. Don't think about it. Focus and put one foot in front of the other, and then you can achieve whatever you want. So that was an important message. But let me step back a bit. I want to talk about having the proper mindset as an entrepreneur, because as a physician, you really are trained to put your head down, get your work done, not complain, work nights, work weekends, whatever it takes, and do what you need to do. And that's how both Vikram and I operated for a long period of time. And you also are trained to be very analytical and risk averse. Whenever you're getting into a situation that is potentially risky, it is not something that you can necessarily project the outcomes. You can only postulate to a certain degree. It's hard to grasp that concept. And investing is that. It's something a bit risky. You don't truly know what you're getting yourself into. You can only give it your best guess. And it required me to shift my mindset from someone who is focused on doing work to someone who's offering someone an opportunity, someone who, in my mind at the time, was selling something. So I actually want to distinguish those two things, selling and offering an opportunity. Because when I first started, I was thinking, look, I'm in this field, in this space, I'm a physician, but now I'm becoming a salesman because I'm trying to get people into my syndication. And it didn't sit well with me. For a long time, I struggled with that. And in fact, when I would talk to people, often I came in with that mindset. And I felt like if somebody said, oh, I'm not interested, kind of a gut punch. But then what I realized over time was, actually, what I'm doing is offering these people an opportunity to invest with me. I'm giving this opportunity to get into something that they fully don't understand. And as I became more invested in the space, really understood more of what I was doing, I realized that it was a grand opportunity in some circumstances to invest. In fact, it was such an opportunity that we overfilled almost every one of our deals because people were struggling to get in. So when that mindset shifted from the salesperson to the opportunity, that was one of the major mind shifts that occurred for me that allowed me to take it to the next level. So just to sum up, it was the mindset shift that it's just a number. Don't focus on that. Just focus on getting one foot in front of the other. It was a shift that you're not selling something, but you're giving someone the opportunity to invest. And then the other mindset also is that you have the ability and tools to invest like everyone else. It's not rocket science. It's not neurosurgery. It's something that's easily learned. If you're a professional that has somewhat accomplished in your field, you can easily pick this up. And you just have to be diligent about learning it. You have to put certain metrics in place, make sure you hit your goals. But you learn these tools, these techniques, and anyone could do what we're doing.
Joe Fairless, recently, him and I gave a speech about the biggest mistakes that we've made. And one of the things he talked about in raising capital was, if you master your craft, you owe it to others to share in that upside. And you're being selfish if you don't let investors share into that. And for me, it took me the better part of 10 years to get comfortable with taking investor capital. I never wanted the burden. I didn't want the responsibility. And what shifted with me was I realized a lot of my high net worth buddies were investing in bars, restaurants, crypto schemes, marijuana companies, and none of them were returning any money, right? There were no returns. These investments all were a wash eventually. And I finally realized that I'd be doing these guys and girls a favor if I let them into some of these deals. And that was a huge mindset shift for me. And what you pointed out, I've had a lot of people that I've interviewed that have said, yeah, I'm not a salesperson. I don't like to sell these deals. You're not selling. And like you said, you're presenting an opportunity, and you owe it to the people around you to let them benefit from these opportunities that you're making a lot of money on. So I'm glad you brought that up. You know, you said, let's go back to when we were doing $100 million. How about we go back to when you're doing $1 million? Let's go back to the beginning, right? Here you guys are, you're two physicians. My guess is you're working a lot of hours. You're dabbling in real estate for whatever reason. Maybe that's a tax benefit. Actually, why were you doing that? Was it tax benefit? Was it to build wealth? Or was it just a side hustle and let's see where it goes?
It was a little bit of all of that. I can tell you with my practice in medicine, I was feeling that I reached sort of a glass ceiling of where I could be and what I was doing. And I was very interested in pursuing other types of options. And I wasn't completely satisfied in that. So that was an incentive to look at other types of investing. So it was somewhat of an identity shift for me that was needed. That was part of it. The other part was certainly tax incentives. Other part was certainly wealth building, because as I mentioned before, I invested in some multifamily assets before, and I saw the power of real estate. And my wife and I invested in these, and we were able to both pull back in our clinical duties. She's a physician as well. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. With these four small investments, we're able to do this. With a larger scale investment, imagine what we can build. So it was all of that.
You're passionate about real estate, and that's certainly evident. Were you as passionate about medicine?
Yeah, actually, I feel like I am equally passionate. In fact, if I look at the type of person I am, I've done a lot of introspection and deep dives. And I know a lot of your listeners, I've heard of Tony Robbins, and I've gone to his seminars and courses and things of that sort. And I've done that too. And I've gained a lot from that. But what I've realized is that I am intrinsically a person that is a healer, a person that really cares about the well-being of others, and not only just people, but the planet as well. I'm very focused on sustainability, and I want to make sure that whatever action I take is good for the community as a whole. So in that light, for the practice of medicine, it completely fits. And in fact, I now practice functional medicine, which is truly my passion. Functional medicine is the medicine of health and well-being, optimizing people's health by lifestyle and getting people off medications instead of putting them on medications, focusing on lifestyle supplements and that type of thing. And in real estate, my focus is obviously building wealth for our investors, for ourselves, and then also improving the communities that we serve. And that's a huge drive for me. I know a lot of operators that will just squeeze a property dry and try to juice everything out of it and try to sell it for organic appreciation. And sometimes they make a killing and the property is like decimated and somebody else is there to clean it up. Sometimes they get hit hard. And for me, that's just absolutely the wrong way to go. I believe in building a community, improving it, improving the tenants' lives, giving back to them. So it aligns with my passions and my purpose.
At your properties, how do you improve your tenants' lives? What's something out of the box that you do?
Yeah, I'll bring this back to the question you asked me as to how we got started, the first $1 million we invested. So we had this one property that we purchased. It was called Senate Riverdale. It's a funny story how we were awarded the property, because we put in an offer for $4.125 million on a 118-unit property. This was South Atlanta, and the cost per door was just insanely low. But at the time, this was what we'd go for, and we lost it. And we were like, okay, that's fine. You know, this is our first one. We'll just continue to try to get another. And then it so happened that there was a shooting on the property a couple of weeks after it was awarded to the initial person that won it. And that guy was like, Kalando, I'm out of this. This is way too much for me. And then when we heard that, the seller came back to us, they're like, hey, you guys are number two. Do you want it? And we're like, hell yeah, we'll take it. We'll deal with the shooting. So we did. We took it over. And we saw that there was a fractured condo complex next door. And that was where the criminals would hang out. You had prostitutes, you had dead dogs, literally you name it, it was there. It was crazy, drug deals. So what we did was we bought that one property. We bought that one next door. We bought each condo complex from multiple owners, or each of those fractions from multiple owners. It was an insane deal. And it was very time consuming, very scary, but we actually completely packaged that, put it together, and created a brand new apartment complex practically out of that. So then we had two of these units. So we had two apartment complexes. We improved them both tremendously. We totally up-leveled the tenant base. So prior to that, you could actually Google that apartment complex and look at YouTube videos of all these fights that would break out. And this would get thousands and thousands of views. People would look for fights at this apartment complex and Google it. It was Noble Oaks. So if you're YouTube Noble Oaks fights, you'll see a lot of good ones, a lot of entertaining fights there. So that all stopped. The apartment community improved. We initiated this program called Wellness Wednesdays, where we presented a wellness topic every so often. We had these giveaways for school kids. So we supplied them backpacks and school supplies. We created a safe spot for pickups for the parents. So this is how we tremendously improved that community. All that crime and the craziness actually just completely dissipated because that fractured condo complex was taken care of. And we made a lot of money doing it. So it was like a win-win-win. And that's how we operate. Oh, one last thing. We actually did the first solar lighting production on that complex. Now, it ultimately, unfortunately, didn't work. There were some issues with the batteries. And I learned a lesson there, not to be the number one to do these types of things. But it was fine. It was just a few drops in the bucket at the end of the day. But that's how we improve communities.
Yeah. Let's go back to scaling when you have a job. And you mentioned your identity. What was your identity? Were you guys real estate investors? Were you physicians? And what are you now? And then what do you want to be when you grow up?
That's a great question. So my identity prior to all this investing and entrepreneurship was a physician. I still identify myself as that. It's because that's my identity. And when I started the company, it actually shifted to an entrepreneur. And I identify myself as an entrepreneur now, which is so interesting in so many ways, because for me, it just opened up so much in terms of growth, in terms of learning, in terms of contributing, ways that I never really knew existed. And it opened up a lot of blind spots. In fact, I was talking to a friend recently, also a physician. We're chatting about our journey in entrepreneurship. And we both agreed that without the entrepreneurship part of our lives, we'd really feel like we'd be stuck in some kind of rut. But being an entrepreneur, it shifts you in that it just opens up possibilities, because you have to be open to possibilities to succeed. If you shut yourself down, you're not going to grow. You have to learn. You have to grow. You have to try something new. If you fail, it's cliche, but there's no such thing as a failure. It's very true. It's not a failure. It's a learning experience. Just like I mentioned to you, that solar project, it's a learning experience. Now we're talking about putting these massive solar projects on the roofs of our apartment complex, complete shift from what we did before. But I'm glad I tried that, because I learned from that. Now I'm doing something different and I know how to do it correctly. So that's how my identity shifted over time.
We'll get back to the show with first some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about.
Do you want to do bigger and better commercial real estate deals? Take your real estate capital raising efforts to new heights with syndicationattorneys.com. With more than 20 years of real estate and investing experience, Syndicationattorneys.com goes beyond just creating legal documents. They educate you on ethical and legal capital raising strategies. Plus, they offer a host of free resources, including their best-selling capital raising books, numerous articles, and their popular podcast, Raise Private Money Legally. At syndicationattorneys.com, they do more so you can do more. More deals, bigger deals, and better deals. So if you want attorneys with premier experience helping syndicators and fund managers raise capital, go to syndicationattorneys.com today to schedule an appointment and unlock your maximum capital raising potential today. That's syndicationattorneys.com. This offer is not available to Florida residents.
Ravi, I'm sure you mentor a lot of young people. Let's focus on real estate folks that you mentor. What's the lowest hanging fruit, easiest to correct, and most widespread mindset hurdle that you encounter?
Yes, I think the biggest one is the imposter syndrome, feeling that you should not be where you are. And we mentor a lot of physicians. That's just our niche. And many of them feel that way. They're like, well, I feel off being here. I don't feel right. And I don't know if I should truly be in the space. And many of them just fall back and go right back to where they were before. It's a golden handcuff. You're a high income earner and nobody's feeling sorry for you because it's not like you're living in destitution or something like that, but you are bound by the amount of hours you put into your job. You're not earning money while you sleep, as Warren Buffett says. That's where the riches come. But that is really what it is. It's getting beyond that and understanding that you have every right to be in this space and you can achieve whatever you set your mind to. You just have to have the right person to follow. You have to have the right mentorship and the right goals. And then you have to just iterate and iterate and iterate until it happens. Don't be afraid of failure. Just view it as a learning opportunity. And the other thing is, when you are a high income earner or a professional in this space, you can always say, hey, look, I'm doing this as an experiment. If it doesn't work, I'm lucky enough to fall back on something as fulfilling and lucrative as my career was, but I'm going to do something to better myself.
Did you go through that imposter syndrome stage?
Yeah, absolutely. And it switched when I realized I was offering people an opportunity and not selling.
Yeah, I did as well. And I just saw a Tony Robbins video and he said, imposter syndrome is BS. It's just low self-worth. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And turns out, I think that made a lot of sense. What's another mindset struggle from people that are successful in real estate, but they can't seem to scale up?
I think the other thing is focusing on the wrong thing. Both of us like him, or you know, follow his teachings, and I'm sure many of your listeners do as well. But he talks about the triad, right? You know, it's like your state comes from your focus, your belief systems, your physiology, the way you carry yourself, and the language you use. So many people, their focus is on the negative. What will happen if this happens and this happens? And that becomes a huge issue and it causes so much stress to the point where people just back away. But there's a couple ways to combat that. Number one is focusing on what you've accomplished. So don't focus on what you think the ideal would be. Focus on what you have done to this point. And there's a great book called The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan. And he talks exactly about this. It's a simple concept. He calls it the gap and the gain, gives it a term, but it's useful to say, it's easy to say, but you want to be in the gain, not the gap, right? You don't want to focus on all the negative or the what ifs that could happen. You really want to focus on what you've accomplished thus far and the potential that you have. And then also you want to trust that whatever positive energy you put out there, your goals and ideas will come to fruition, and trust in that positive energy, that source energy. I'm talking a little bit about the metaphysical world or the higher energy space, but I completely believe in that. I feel like it's helped me tremendously. And when you put that faith into something else and you have those goals in mind and you're doing what you can do to make it happen and you have the coaching and mentorship to do it, then it's going to happen. Whatever you put your mind to will happen.
How important is it to have a why?
Oh, I think that's fundamentally important. That's what causes people to shift. And if you have a goal, but you're just not really in it, you're just, I don't know if I really want to do it, then your why isn't strong enough. So I would say you really have to solidify that why before you tackle anything. You asked me earlier, why do I want to get into real estate investing? And I can tell you my why right now is because my goal is to improve the lives of others and make the communities better, make the world a better place, and then also improve my financial situation. But the truth of the matter is, I feel very blessed and grateful to be in a situation where financially I'm doing okay. I'm not living an extravagant life where I'm on a yacht sailing to my island, and nor do I even want that. That's not who I am. But I'm at a position financially where I could just stop and watch Netflix and the rest of my life, and I'd be okay. But I don't want to do that. That's not who I am. That's what I'm about. And it's because of my why. I'm here to make these changes in my lifetime. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Ravi, do you still have coaches?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, you know, from a lot of outsiders looking in, you've achieved monumental success. This guy should be a coach. Why do you have coaches?
Well, I think everyone needs a coach. Even the best coaches. We were talking about Tony Robbins. I use him as an example. He has multiple coaches. Everyone needs a coach. And the reason is, and this is an analogy I like to share with people, is that if you, for example, are sailing from one island to another, you've never been to that other island before, and you try to do it alone, you may get there, but then you're going to run into potentially obstructions, rocks. You may run into storms. You don't know how to navigate them. You may want to turn back around. You may just sail in circles. But if you have someone guiding you that has been there before, has done that, that knows how to sail that ship, that can tell you how to navigate through a storm, then you're going to get there much more quickly, much more easily, and you're going to hit your goal regardless of how you were before. You'd hit your goal much quicker. So that is the reason to get a coach, to help you succeed in your life, in your business, or whatever goals you have. I think it's very important.
Again, I appreciate this conversation. Another off-the-wall topic, another book by, I believe, Dan Sullivan was Rocket Fuel.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
They talk about every organization needs a visionary and an integrator. Between you and Vikram, are one of you the visionary and one is the integrator?
Yes, absolutely. And there's another book written by Gino Wickman called Traction. Same concept. You absolutely need that. And Vikram is a visionary. I'm the integrator. That's exactly how we're wired. He's got tons of ideas. I'm the one looking at those ideas and being like, I'm not really feeling that, or we're not doing that, or yes, this makes a lot of sense. That dynamic, I feel like, is critical in a company.
Ravi, speaking to our best ever listeners, a lot of them that may want to achieve the level of success that you have, but maybe are starting out or a few years into it, what is your best real estate investing advice ever for those folks?
I would say start now. Again, people say that all the time, but I really mean start now for several reasons. One of them is because we're in an economic climate. We're recording January 24th, 2024. At this time, we're hitting a point in the economic cycle where there's fear. People don't know what to expect. They're concerned about a recession. They're concerned about the Middle East, destabilization there. People are concerned about a lot of different types of things. And because of that, people have a tendency to just go inward and hold on to their cash and not look at opportunities. But this is the time to be opportunistic because there are so many deals to be had. There are people that are just as fearful as you, and they're acting on it in that they're selling based on emotion. They're like, I want to get out of this deal. I want to get this asset off my hands. I want to cash in what I have. And that's where you can be opportunistic. As long as you understand the fundamentals of what you're doing, you understand the basic investment structures of, we're talking about multifamily deals now, of a multifamily syndication or multifamily management, you understand that, you can be opportunistic and purchase those, and you can change your life in the next 6 months to a year. And I don't mean that lightly. I'll give you an example. There's a friend of mine that I was talking to who recently bought a 35-unit apartment complex, his first one. It was a distressed asset. Many people would have just passed it over saying, I'm not even going to consider this, but he did his due diligence. He understood the asset. He got coaching. He underwrote it properly. He shared his underwriting with experts, and he vetted it in so many different ways and realized that there's so much meat on the bone in this particular deal. And he bought it and he's implementing his business plan, and it's already doing incredibly well. And he's going to change his life. He's a physician. His wife's a physician. But this asset is going to change his life because it's going to generate so much cash flow for him. He has plans for his wife to stop working where she is and take another job. There's risk there, but because they have this additional income, they don't have to worry about that as much. So that's the piece of advice I would give your listeners to start now.
Ravi, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
I am, but actually let me add to that one piece as well. If you don't have the ability or time to start on your own, you can also invest with other people. We both are part of syndication companies, Ashcroft Capital, named after you, Ash, I believe.
No. That's Joe Fairless's company.
I know. I'm totally kidding.
I'm literally just a podcast host. That's his company.
You should say you own it. You should, with the name of Ash.
No, listen, it's a privilege for me to be on this microphone, but this is all because of Joe, and that's his company that he built. Maybe I will. I'll start using that. Ashcroft was named after me. I like that.
Yeah, you should. He may not be listening to this podcast, and you'll just garner a bunch of investors that way. So we both are part of syndication companies. We know the power of syndication. We both come from places that where we really value our investors. They trust us. We want to do the best for them. So that's another place you can invest your money into syndication companies like ours.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that. Get started now. Find a great deal. You may not have the means. You may not have the network to take it down yourself, but you can present it to others. And even if you have to give the deal away and add value to somebody else, that should return enough to you to keep that momentum going. Look, you could sell the deal, be a part of the deal. If somebody brought you a great 300 unit property and said, look, I don't have the means to take this down. I don't have the network of investors. I just want to learn from you. Can you partner with me on this deal, take it down, and I'll watch? That would be incredible, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I love that. That's great advice.
Just taking action. All right, what is the best ever book you recently read, Ravi?
Well, I'm going to give you two. One of them is more for fun. It's Ken Follett, the Kingsbridge series. So there's 5 books in that series, but really interesting reading. If you're interested in historical fiction, check it out. Ken Follett is the author. We mentioned Gap in the Game by Dan Sullivan. I'm reading that currently. That's another book I'm reading right now.
What is the best ever way you like to give back?
As I mentioned, I'm very much into environmental sustainability. So there's an organization called One Tree Planted. For every dollar you donate, they'll plant one tree. So we donate a lot to One Tree Planted.
And Ravi, how can the best ever listeners reach out to you?
Absolutely. You can check out our website, vikingcapllc.com. You can check out my personal webpage, ravigupta.md.com, or you can just email me personally. My email is rgupta@vikingcapllc.com.
And best ever listeners, by all means, Google Joe Fairless and Vikram Raya, and Ravi's partner Vikram's episode will pop up. That was a great interview as well. You can learn more about Viking Capital through that interview as well. Ravi, listen, man, I don't know what you expected when you turned on your microphone today, but thank you so much. We had a great conversation. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think you added a lot of value to our best ever listeners.
Wonderful. I'm happy to do it. Thanks, Ash.
And best ever listeners, thank you for joining us as well. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star review. Share this podcast with someone you think can benefit from. And also follow, subscribe, and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.